But it was a good win for the Gardos last night. Angel Martinez with a massive grand slam to get the second straight win for the Gardos. And, whew, little bit of time to breathe here. And to help us catch our breath with the Gardos, we head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. And welcome on Al Pawlowski, Guardians TV host. Al Pal, welcome to the show, bud.
Hey, Nick. Hey, Jonathan. Great to be here with you fellas.
It's even better because we got two wins in a row here, so we can breathe a little bit. I know you're around the team. I know you've been around the team watching them trying to navigate the last couple weeks here. What do you think the last two games mean for this young team?
Well, I think it's definitely changed things around from just a mental perspective. When you start losing like they did and losing in some of the ways they did. I mean, last week in Chicago, you know, you get beat 1-0 in 10 innings against Detroit. It seemed like, you know, you should have won all three of those games with the sort of pitching you got, but they just didn't have any offense at all. And then finally on Sunday, you get a lead late, two outs in the ninth inning, your closer's on the hill, and a ball squirts through your catcher, and they tie the game, and then they score a bunch of runs in the 10th inning, and you lose. So then, you know, it starts becoming where, and this is true of any sport, when you start losing and you're losing in some strange ways or crazy ways or games that you feel that normally you would win, then it becomes, oh, my goodness, you know, how are we going to lose today? How is this going to happen? So when they finally got over that hump on Monday, it's like, okay, got that win, losing streak's over. And then yesterday, they found a way to win. And this is against a good Astros team on their home field who's also relaying the signals from second base to the batter. Now, I know it's legal. You can do that. But you've got a lot going on when you're playing in Houston. So to be able to win those two games, to put yourself in a position for a sweep today, the mental makeup of this team, I think, is in a much better spot than they were 48, 72 hours ago.
Yeah, Al Pal, do you think that people just overreacted over the previous, I don't know, 2 weeks or so?
Yes and no, you know, to be fair. Yeah, because this team was not as bad as that 10-game losing streak showed. I know that they're struggling to hit. There's no getting around that, especially the lower part of the order. That's all fair. But at the same time, you know, there is still talent here. And don't forget, at the end of the day, it's pitching that wins ball games at the end. Yes, you have to have offense too, of course. But when you look back at some of the really bad teams in baseball, the teams that you think aren't so bad, but for whatever reason they can't get to October, it's generally because of pitching. They don't have enough starting pitching. Their bullpen is bad. That's not the case here. I know the bullpen isn't as consistent as it was last year, but it's pretty good. The starters have been very good. So when you've got pitching, you're going to be in every game. You're eventually going to have some of these one-run games go your way, and that's what's happened now. So, you know, maybe a little bit of overreaction, but I can understand it. It's tough to watch your team lose day in, day out, and not get much offense.
Al, I bought early stock on Angel Martinez, and I've never sold it. Probably will never sell it. I'm of the young bats right now, especially the young guys that have struggled here off and on, who are you most confident will get it right and have a nice little run here in Cleveland?
Yeah, I like Angel Martinez a lot, too. I liked him when I first saw him when he was in the minor leagues. I liked him when he came up last year. I liked him when he came up this year. So I'm with you. I bought the stock, and I'm holding as well. I think that he's going to be probably that first one to become a consistent hitter. I don't think we're going to see grand slams out of him every night, but I think we're going to see a guy who is very capable of batting 300 at this level, who's occasionally going to give you some power, and who's versatile. Eventually, they might settle on one position with him, but you know he's got that versatility now, and he's so athletic. He can play in the outfield or the infield, so he's in a good spot, I think, for Cleveland. So that's the guy for me out of all these young hitters. You know, obviously, there's some guys at AAA that have a lot of potential. I'm very interested to see how they react when they eventually get to the major league level. I think they've got some very good, you know, potential, more than just everyday players down there. They've got some guys that could be all-stars too. Now, of course, we have to see how it plays out. There's been a lot of potential all-stars that barely even made it to the majors and did anything, but I think they've got a couple of legit guys down there, maybe two or three right now at AAA. But of the guys up here, yeah, I think it's Martinez. Of all the young hitters, I also liked where Arias was going to. You know, he still wasn't the consistent player that you wanted before his injury, but he's starting to show signs. I thought every month he took another step forward with becoming that consistent sort of hitter too. So for me, Martinez and hopefully Arias when he gets back are the two young guys that I really like with the bats.
Austin Hedges got subbed in as a defensive replacement last night. Is there anything there? I mean, is there something there with Class A and with Bo Naylor, or is it just they'll be fine and it just was a little bit of a mishap on Sunday and it was what it was?
I think he can be seen perhaps as a little bit of both. You know, when you lose a game like that on Sunday, that was deflating because you were ending the win streak against the best team in baseball, who's in your division, who's one of your rivals, who you were good against this year in Detroit. You had that game. You felt like it. You've got what you feel is the best closer in the game on the mound, and he really didn't lose it. The ball got away, and that's what cost you. Now, it's going to be magnified, to be fair to Bo Naylor, when it's the 10th game in a row that you've lost. That's really going to be magnified. However, you know, yeah, I think that maybe Stephen Vogt's thinking was, okay, let's get Hedges out there for defense. We're pretty confident that the ball's not going to get by him, so Class A can throw that ball with confidence. That's the other thing you've got to remember, too, as a pitcher. When you're throwing that breaking ball, whether it's a curveball, slider, splitter, cutter, whatever, you've got to be able with confidence to throw that ball so it's going to drop below the zone, probably bounce, because most of the time you're wanting swing and miss on that. You're not necessarily throwing your secondary pitches over the plate. You're not doing it a lot, at least. You want a lot of swing and miss, especially with two strikes. So you've got to make sure that who's ever on the mound has confidence. Now, that's Class A, and I mean, he's got that cutter and a slider that are going to go in the dirt, and that he gets a lot of swing and miss there. So you want him to have the utmost confidence in his catcher that he's going to be able to make that stop.
Al Pawlowski, Guardians TV host on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I know we don't tend to get into, you know, trade deadline stuff with you there, but that was really interesting. Former MLB GM had linked the Tigers to Emmanuel Clase. So if we just take the names out of it and we just talk about the idea, do you think buyers, sellers, what have you, do you think the Tigers would be on a no-fly list for the Guardians in terms of in-season trades?
Most likely, as I think, you know, any division rivals are, and especially where Cleveland is at. So let's say they determine they need to be sellers at this trade deadline. I mean, they've got enough here in this organization, especially pitching-wise. I mean, next year they could bounce right back and be competing for first place again. Who knows? I mean, if things pick up, look at Detroit last year. They were left dead in the water at the trade deadline, and they made an incredible run the last couple of months. And they also got some very good pitching at the end of last year, too, which helped make that run. So anything can happen. That's why I don't think you're going to give up somebody like Clase to the Tigers. It would just be too difficult to deal with because you don't just give up a guy who you know is probably going to be successful wherever he goes. He's in the prime of his career. Now, if you can get the right package for him, you know, as many GMs will tell you, anybody is available. I'll listen to anything if somebody wants to overspend. Remember at the time when they traded Mike Clevinger and people are like, well, why are they trading Mike Clevinger? Well, clearly they got an incredible return for him, and also they traded him at the exact right time. You know, if somebody comes forward with a great offer for Clase, I could see that move being made. However, I just find it extremely unlikely it happens within the division. That being said, if the Tigers come and just absolutely blow them out of the water to where they can't say no, well, as the saying goes, you can't say no.
Yeah, Al, that's my thinking. Is like if they throw Max Clark in there or someone like that, and it's just like that's exactly the type of player that the Guardians could use and would need. If that cost you Class A, and it, yes, it would make the Tigers better in the moment, but if that's what that is, then I don't know why it should be a no-go.
Yeah, it's you know, you never say never. So that's a great point you make, John. And believe me, this front office is very good at evaluating other organizations and what they have and what would fit within Cleveland's organization. So they're never going to say never. However, if they're going to trade Clase to a divisional rival, it would have to be an overwhelming package. But that could happen. I mean, it's happened in the past. It's never like division rivals haven't made trades with one another. It's just rarer than, say, making a trade with, like, the National League West, where Cleveland, you know, has made a lot of trades in the past, especially the Padres.
Al, we, you know, one of the big things we always talk about is sample size and not putting too much pressure on certain segments of the season, but yet the trade deadline looms there. You've just won two after losing 10 straight. You got, let's see, 5 games before the All-Star break. How important are the next 5 games for this team just to continue things in a positive direction?
Yeah, if they're going to be buyers at the deadline, I would say that this trend now has to continue because the 10-game losing streak did put them in a fairly significant hole as far as getting a playoff spot. The chances of anybody but the Tigers winning the Central right now is very slim. When you take a look at the lead they have at this point in the season, historically, they're going to be incredibly hard to catch, and probably nobody in this division catches them. So, okay, you got to look at the wild card. Now, with the extra team that was added recently, you know, there's a lot more teams that have a chance that didn't necessarily have one, let's say, 5, 10, 15 years ago. So you've got, you know, you've got a shot with these extra wild cards now. So can they win the next few and get it to within a reasonable distance? Because the wild card deficit is always harder to overcome than a divisional deficit, simply because you're competing against the entire league as opposed to just five teams, or I should say four teams within your division. So if you have to run down one team or two teams and you're within six or seven at the All-Star break, very doable. But if you're within six or seven of a wild card spot and you're competing with eight other teams legitimately for those spots, then it's awfully difficult because other teams are going to get hot as well. So they're going to have to win a number of games in a row or go on a nice run of, you know, winning 6 out of 8 or 8 out of 10 to now start to think like, okay, maybe we are still in this thing. And then don't dismiss something like Detroit did last year where they traded Flaherty, got what they wanted, go back and re-sign Flaherty. They might make a trade that at the moment looks like they're sellers, but the people they're getting back or the spaces that are created opening-wise actually could make them a better team in the second half. You guys kind of understand what I'm saying? That mm-hmm. you could still make a trade of a veteran, but in some ways that might make you a better team because of what that trade does for perhaps opening a spot.
Will Wilson got the at-bat for Nolan Jones, who had two hits in the game last night. Jonathan Rodriguez got the at-bat for Schneeman as well. And it just feels like late in these games, I understand what they're going for with the platooning, but you feel like they maybe go to that well just a little bit too much, and maybe they should ride guys like Nolan Jones who are having successful days at the plate a little bit longer.
Yeah, Jones has gotten a little bit better, but I'll say this. Nobody on this team outside of Jose Ramirez, Stephen Kwan, and Carlos Santana that are healthy at the moment have proven themselves as everyday players, to be fair. So they're going to, you know, Stephen Vogt and the Guardians, they're going to take a look and say, okay, where can we get the best matchup here? So if Kwan's up, it doesn't matter. He's on the mound. Kwan's batting. Jose Ramirez, same thing. Carlos Santana, same thing. But if it's just about anybody else, they're going to go with the matchups and what they say on paper until somebody can step forward and become consistent. And I agree with you, Jones. I mean, he had a pretty good month of June. He's mm-hmm. you can see the progress in July. He's now in the starting lineup sometimes against lefties, so he's getting that opportunity. So if he proves himself as an everyday player, they're not going to pinch hit for him. But, you know, if he's still making outs, if that average is still low, if the contact is not where you want it, then they're going to go ahead and PH for him.
Al, great stuff, man. Excited after the last 2 days. Can't wait to see where the Guardians take this before the All-Star break. But you're always so generous with your time, and we appreciate it, sir.
Thanks, Al.
You got it, fellas. Good talking to you. Take care.
You too, bud. Al Pawlowski there, Guardians TV host on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We will react to what he had to say, and we do have to react to an unfortunate set of circumstances in decisions by Stephen Vogt, and the reality that comes with that in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.